Did you have a first sort of great run-in with a, you know, a fighter or a promoter or something like that on your first couple of weeks in the job where you were like, wow, you know, I'm actually closer to these guys than I thought I would be?
You know, I would probably have to say Mike Tyson.
Really?
You know, once he got released from prison for his altercation that he had, they had, I believe it was the McNeely fight or it was a Frank Bruno fight. It was one of those two, and I would probably be more inclined to say the Frank Bruno fight. He would come in quite often, and you hear so many things, you know, through entertainment wires about personalities and how they're perceived, and then you actually meet somebody one-on-one, and you get a totally different take, and you realize that what you read and what you hear about certain personalities are usually the total opposite of how they actually are when they interact with you on a one-on-one basis. And that was definitely my experience with Mike Tyson. He's down to earth, the friendliest guy you'd probably ever want to meet. You know, loved kids, signed autographs, you know, was more than outgoing. And, you know, he was a great guy, really.
I'd have to think that would be sort of the general case because, you know, the fighters especially, you see them when they're all hyped up, they're all, you know, pumped up, talking trash, things like that. And then when you kind of get to run in with them in their downtime, so to speak, I'm guessing a lot of the times it's that situation where you're surprised that they're actually nicer than they are perceived to be on television, right?
You know, and I would definitely say I'd be more inclined to say it about Mike Tyson because he was perceived as almost the antichrist of boxing for a certain period of time there. And to actually meet the guy and really see how he is was a real pleasure for myself, you know, anytime I interacted with him one-on-one.
That must have been insane going up to Mike Tyson right after getting released from jail and now you have to deal with the guy. Did he ever have any like special requests that, you know, you always hear about celebrities wanting something in their locker rooms or, you know, in their backstage area. Did he ever ask you to do anything crazy for him?
No, not at all. Not at all. He was just like any other, you know, client that you might be dealing with.
And what about in general? Which guy is like the biggest pain in the ass to deal with? Which fighter or personality out there that you've run in with that is just like you hear that he's coming and you kind of cringe that you're going to have to deal with this guy?
You know, I would probably have to say, I'd probably have to say either Bob Arum or Tommy Hearns.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about Bob Arum for a second, the famous boxing promoter. Why is he such a pain in the ass? We've heard some, you know, Lou DiBella, the other famous boxing promoter, has always oftentimes said that, you know, the guy pisses him off, he can't stand him. But what's your experience like with Bob?
Just very standoffish, very, you almost get the impression that he has this aura of being, you know, better than type of mentality that kind of he portrays.
Did he do something in particular that pissed you off?
In particular, just probably, no, I mean, no, I really can't say there's one given incident in that regard, but just kind of almost like a pompous stance.
Okay, and what about, you know,
towards,
the Hitman Hearns?
Towards the work. You know, if Tommy Hearns, we would not have a problem with Tommy Hearns.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, you just said that he was the biggest pain in your butt.
Bob Arum or Tommy Hearns?
Oh, I thought you said that Bob Arum and Tommy Hearns were the two biggest pains in your butt.
I would say probably Bob Arum with his personality, and I would think Tommy Hearns just because of the pure fact that he doesn't like to tip.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Okay, so he's just...
No.
Never.
Not that I can recall.
Really? That's weird.
Not that I can recall.
Are fighters...
You know, most of those entertainers that are in that type of sports industry are, you know, very down-earth, you know, will always tip you and take care of, you know, what they need to take care of. But that's been my experience.
Did you ever call him
out on
it?
At least with those... No.
Can't do that, right?
No. that wouldn't be remotely politically correct.
Right, right. In general, though, the fighters, they take care of you guys? Like, I mean, because you always hear that, especially the MMA fighters, that they don't get paid enough and all that stuff. But when it comes down to, you know, doing what's right for you, that you're happy dealing with them?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, they're probably some of the best clientele that we deal with on a one-on-one basis.
Who's the best tipper?
I would say all those guys are equally good when it comes to tipping. And they're all friendly and really just kind of fly under the radar and, don't ask anything extravagant or out of the ordinary. And, you know, we kind of anticipate their needs prior to them ever requesting anything. So, those guys are really good guys.
You mentioned having sort of maybe potentially outlandish needs and whatnot. Was there ever a time where you, like one time in particular that sort of sticks out, where a guy asked you for something, you know, you work in Las Vegas, so I'm sure you've seen everything, where you just couldn't believe, or that you saw something that a guy was doing that might have been different from what the public perception of him, you know, like who knows if you saw him doing something not so much illegal, but just stuff that we would be surprised given, you know, his public perception, you know, in the sort of combat sports world. Is there a certain story or guy that comes to mind, you know, in that case?
You know, in the MMA world, if that's what you're referring to, no, not at all.
How about boxing?
Boxing, you know, that's really, really one and the same. In that regard, you know, who I mentioned earlier, a lot of those guys, in fact, we had Jermaine Taylor staying in a hotel for his upcoming fight with Kelly Pavlik. And
right.
Very nice, you know, very nice guy, real down-to-earth, you know, guy just trying to pay the bills and, you know, collect a check on Saturday.
What is
very under the radar.
Yeah, absolutely. What is the biggest, the most famous, the most hyped fight that while you were at the MGM Grand, you were a part of in your last 12 years that come to mind? Number one.
Yeah, it would have to be Mayweather-De La Hoya.
Mayweather-De La Hoya, just a few months ago. What was the atmosphere leading up to that?
There's a certain buzz, you know, and I really, it's hard for me to put it into words, because you really have to be there to experience it. There's a certain buzz when you have a fight like that compared to if you have a fight like Randy and Tito in MMA. That type of buzz just supersedes any type of, you know, atmosphere that I could really put into words for you to really kind of give you a gist of what that is to be around. But, you know, it's really second to none. When there's just a certain smell in the air or feeling that you get once you get on property, when you know, you know, an event like that is about to go down, that's really been anticipated for many years, and now it's finally going to materialize.
Now, Mayweather Hatton was also at MGM Grand, right?
And that's correct as well.
And what was the difference between them? Because, you know, you heard so much about all the British fans coming over, and they were sort of took over the whole scene leading up to the bout. They were so boisterous and passionate about Hatton. What was the difference between the build up to that fight and as opposed to Mayweather-De La Hoya?
I would have to say it's because it's more of an American based, you know, roots oriented type of fight. As in, you know, Hatton was kind of perceived as the foreigner or the outsider. So you really didn't have a good take on him or a real long history of build-up with Hatton coming onto the scene, as you did with De La Hoya and also with Mayweather. I mean, De La Hoya's had epic battles in Las Vegas. This is really his town, and the same can be said for Mayweather. This is his town. So there's a history there. There's a resume on both De La Hoya and Mayweather. And Hatton really didn't bring that to the table, so thus you really didn't get the type of vibe or the buzz in the air that you did with Hoya and Mayweather.
Were the British fans annoying to deal with?
Not at all.
Not at all.
Nah, you deal with people like that, you know, from all over the country, let alone all over the world,
right,
on a regular basis. So it's really commonplace.
Is there a difference between, you know, when there's a boxing fight coming up as opposed to an MMA fight in terms of the fans, the type of clientele that you have there? Are they sort of one and the same?
You know, I would say with the MMA crowd, it's probably more your common man. It's more your 9-to-5 guy, you know, much like myself. As in where the boxing crowds, I think, you know, their W-2s and my W-2s probably don't, you know, equate to the same dollar amount.
Right.
So yeah, there is a difference. Yeah, no question.
Has there ever been a time leading up to a fight where, well, first of all, let me ask this. Have you ever, if there's a bout at the MGM Grand and you see fighters, you're around them, whatever, and then you actually bet on the bouts. Is that sort of frowned upon, the fact that you're an employee at the casino, for you to bet on a bout taking place there?
You know, if you do it off duty,
uh-huh,
and out of uniform, and of course off the clock, they don't, as far as I, you know, my understanding is that they don't, as long as those guidelines are in place.
Okay.
That you're off the clock, out of the uniform.
All right. So that said, have you ever seen, you know, suppose there was maybe a big fight where one guy was favored, and then you saw something leading up that most people wouldn't be privy to, and then you actually off the clock in your own time went and bet against the maybe underdog or even the favorite and just put a little more due to something that you saw behind the scenes?
I know what you're referring to, and I will break my silence on this. There was a time, rather recently, with the Jackson Lindell fight,
mm-hmm,
that we noticed, it was probably middle of summer. Temperatures can range, any given day between, I'd say it's safe to say between 108 and 115.
Wow.
Yeah. And they say it's a dry heat, but don't let them fool you. If you ever opened an oven, to pull something out of it and felt that intense heat, that's basically what you would be feeling. And we noticed that Chuck was running around the perimeter of the hotel in a regular sweatsuit type of attire. And we're realizing, as we see this, that it's relatively close to the fight. And if he's doing that, he might be trying to drop weight or get in better shape or, you know, something along those lines. But that's something that we didn't see prior. So to us, it was something new. And it might have been an inside angle.
Uh-huh.
Not that we knew a lot about, you know, Quentin Jackson, because he was in Pride, and really that really wasn't televised out here all that much. But we knew that maybe we were on to something by saying this close to the fight time. So we decided, a few of us, to gather up our measly earnings or side money and put a little wager, which is legal here in the state of Nevada,
mm-hmm,
on Quentin Jackson to win that fight. And he was an underdog, and off the top of my head, I couldn't tell you exactly how big or small of an underdog he was during that fight. But we proceeded to put a few dollars on that and ended up walking away with a small, nice profit that put a smile on all our faces. So.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. So that's that's one of the perks of working at the MGM Grand. Great story. So needless to say, you're a big fan of Quentin Jackson now.
Yeah, I was at that given time, correct.
Right,
yes.
And, you know, it's interesting because you talk about Chuck Liddell, and you always hear stories about him before and after bouts. Have you ever been privy to any of that stuff? You know, his partying, the girls, all that kind of thing with Chuck?
You know, most of that takes, you know, if it does occur, it will take place in the nightclubs and the lounge areas, which I don't have access to, nor really any desire to go to. You know, anytime we've ever dealt with Chuck or Randy, you know, those guys have always been, you know, stand-up guys and first class, you know, from start to finish. And, you know, same with Dana White as well. I know Dana probably gets a bad rap if you read on the internet and you listen to the word on the street. But, you know, Dana's always been a straight-up guy with all of us and has always been nothing but, you know, a first-class guy.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. Despite all that said about him, definitely seems like a pretty down-to-earth guy and very open to the fans in terms of always want, you know, you always see pictures with him and people saying that they met him and things like that. So it doesn't really surprise me. Is there one guy in particular or maybe a couple of guys that has the biggest, you know, sort of groupie following that you've seen where people just attract to him? Is there one guy that comes to mind?
First person that really comes to mind that I really saw it, well, actually, they probably Mike Tyson.
Again, Mike. Interesting.
Yeah, I would say he, anytime he came out or was around, there was, you know, everyone recognized Mike Tyson. Didn't matter who you were or where you were from or what you did for a living, you recognized him. And, you know, and I would probably say, secondly, Bret Hart.
Really? The Hitman?
Yeah. I would definitely say him. He was there for one of the WCW events, and how many years ago and what event it was, I couldn't tell you. But, you know, the kids and the people and just flocked to him like I've never seen before.
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah. He actually just
I just remember seeing him in a sea of people, you know, just surrounding him, you know, wanting his autograph or just wanting to talk to him or just wanting to be around in his presence. It was that iconic at that time.
It's interesting you mentioned that because he just came out with a book recently and he talked all about, you know, sort of extracurricular activities he did on the road and stuff like that and how much he was loved by people all over the world. So that doesn't surprise me. Yeah, before I let you go, I just wanted to ask you quickly about pro wrestling. You mentioned WCW. They used to have a bunch of shows in the Las Vegas area. We've talked about boxing and MMA, but any interesting run-ins with those guys? Because we all know that wrestlers can definitely be an interesting bunch.
The guys that I've met, from Kevin Sullivan to Jericho, Lance Storm, Booker T. On a few occasions, the guy who was probably that stands out as in, you know, I hope I don't see him again or have to deal with him again, was probably Sid Justice or, you know, maybe at that time it was Sid Vicious. I'm not sure.
Right.
But he was a guy you wanted to make sure that he was taken care of because, you know, he just got into that eye where it wasn't a very pleasant look.
Really?
And you kind of felt it in your core if you ever saw that look.
It just looks like a freak,
so,
right?
I wouldn't say a freak, but I would say he's an intimidating person,
okay,
to say the least.
Okay.
You know, there's certain people on this earth that can give you a look, look you in the eye, and look you a certain way in the eye, and then you know that you probably, it's in your best interest to do the right thing.
Right. Okay, interesting. Well, that doesn't really surprise me with Sid. Not exactly, doesn't really look like a batch of flowers. And what about, you know, you mentioned Booker T. You told me sort of in our talks an interesting story with him. Do you care to share that one?
Booker T, you know, he's always been a good guy to us. And anytime we've ever had an encounter with him, and, you know, there's certain things that that are emailed to you, and there's certain things that probably shouldn't be said over the wires of the internet.
Okay.
And we'll just leave it at that, I think.